Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show, presented by Edley's Barbecue.
And it's on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Edley'sBBQ.com is the website to visit for catering options this holiday season. 10% off right now as well when you book before December 1st. You can see all the options online, Edley'sBBQ.com. Logan Ryan joins us today by phone. Players' day off, day after the Monday night loss in Houston, 34-17, the final. Logan, appreciate the time today on the show. We'll start where Paul, I believe, asked you last night, is what happens now after you lose a must-win game on Monday?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. You know, it's Tuesday. The show must go on. When you lose a game like that, we obviously know how important the game was. I mean, the next game, this Jets game, is up to the utmost importance. Biggest game this year. And our main focus and only focus, honestly, is doing what we can and doing what we need to do to clean up mistakes, get better, and get back to Nissan Stadium and get a win in front of our fans and the season's on the line.
What was the plan going in on DeAndre Hopkins? The last couple weeks, you had very specific stuff with Adoree exclusively on a guy. Last night, it seemed like there was more mixing and matching.
Yeah, I mean, we had some injuries last night, but I mean, the plan was to take away DeAndre Hopkins, and you know, he made some good catches and some stuff, but for the most part, we weren't going to let him have a day. And I mean, ultimately, the plan when you play defense and defense on the road is you got to stop the run, and they were able to rush the ball so well. We couldn't really put out our full plan because they're running the ball, they're moving the chains, they're moving the clock. So it was stop the run, and it was to put some help over DeAndre Hopkins. You got to win your matchups elsewhere with Kiki and Demaryius Thomas and stuff like that. So, I mean, you see how it went. We did good in some areas. They passed the ball for, you know, not too much, but they didn't need to pass the ball because they were running the ball so well.
What was the key to their run success in your eyes?
The key, they committed to it. You know, I don't think they were as balanced as we thought they would be with run pass. I think they just kept running it because we weren't stopping it. They had a 96-yard run. So when you have a 100-yard run, I mean, that's gonna pad your running stats there. But yeah, they did a good job of continuing to run the ball. Even when we thought, okay, they might be going to Hopkins here. I don't know what he had, four catches. So, you know, instances where they normally go to Hopkins, or they just continue to pound the run until we stopped it, and we didn't do a good job stopping it, so they never got out of it. Then they had a lead, and they continued to do it. So if you get them behind or get them down, like we had them early in the game, then they get into, you know, having to pass the ball, and that's where we want them to be, but we didn't get in that position.
It feels like a long time since week two when you guys beat the Texans here in Nashville. They've won 8 straight games. They're now 8-3 on the season. It's easy to see where they've improved. Do you feel like you guys have gotten worse as the season has gone on from week two to that performance last night?
No. I mean, that's crazy because 2 weeks ago, after we beat the Patriots, we talked about how it was the best Titans win in franchise history. And now, you know, we're claiming that we get worse. So, no, I don't think that's it. I think they obviously improved. I think we didn't play well on the road these last 2 weeks. I think we played well as a team. So I don't believe in teams trending up and down too much because it's a week-to-week league, and you have to just bring it. You have to bring in the week. Like, our quarterback played a pretty perfect game. If Phillip Rivers didn't complete 25 passes in a row, then Marcus probably would have had a record at 21 or whatever he did last night. So I think he played well. in that game. I think as a defense, we didn't stop the run and give our quarterback a chance. I think taking ownership on that. But no, I think to say that we haven't improved throughout the year when we had wins this year, that we were on the radio show typing up like you're the best wins ever, I think is kind of far-fetched.
You've had some good wins, and you said it's a week-to-week league, and that's certainly been the case with this team most weeks. Last week you played poorly against Indianapolis. This week didn't go well against Houston. Do you see that as a trend in terms of week-to-week? Now there's been back-to-back weeks where things haven't been good?
Yeah, I mean, it needs to improve. I mean, I'm sick defensively. Like, yeah, we need to improve it, period. I think last week we didn't play well, but at the same time, Dean Pease was rushed to the hospital, and that was just an off game. And this week, I think we came out and started fast, and then I just don't think we stopped the run that well. So I don't think all the reasons are the same. I don't think it's a game, and every game has each its own components. So stopping that game, I think we did a good job of stopping DeAndre Hopkins for the most part, whoever was on him. And I just didn't think we stopped the run well enough to win the game. They rushed the ball too well. So I think, yeah, it's 2 weeks where we didn't play great. Obviously we got beat in our division, and you know, we're going to have to play better coming up.
You mentioned Phillip Rivers' big game, 28 of 29, the best completion percentage game in history, 96.6. They win by 35. Marcus yesterday, 22 for 23, 95.7. The second best completion percentage game in history. And you guys lose by 17. A lot of people would say that's kind of a Titan-ish thing. You get the second best completion percentage day in history. And in most places, that would assure a win. And you guys not only lose, but lose by double digits. How does it come that on a day you get the quarterback performance everybody would want, there's a path to defeat?
No, I mean, so much more has to go in a game than completions. I mean, completions, they obviously, they work well, but you have to run the ball also. You have to, you know, score in a red area. And we didn't do a good job of holding them 3 points. They were 3 for 3 in the red area. That's 21 points as opposed to 9. You know, we didn't get our guys any turnovers. That plays the game. Turnovers, whoever wins a turnover battle is like a 90% winner in the NFL if you look out through history. So there's a whole bunch of other factors that help you win in games other than just completion. Like, we had a game where I think the two lowest passing passers against us, against the Titans last year, Miami game, Jay Cutler passed for like 70 yards. This year, Buffalo, Josh Allen passes for like 90 yards or something. Franchise records in defense for passing yards, and we lose both those games. So, like, sometimes that can be skewed because it's a lot. That's football's ultimate team sport, and so much more has to go into it. So if Marcus has a day like he did, completing the ball, if we're not running the ball around him, if we're not blocking, he's not taking sacks, if we're not stopping the run on defense, it doesn't matter. This is a sport where, much different than the NBA, where one player, two players aren't going to win a game, no matter how talented they are. It's going to take a collective team effort, and that's the thing. And you got to watch the film and figure out, okay, that's what went wrong there. Okay, that's what went right. And it wasn't all bad. Trust me, it wasn't all bad. But football, if you lose the game at the end of the day, then everything's going to be bad, and you have to figure out what it is. But as a player, you're going to figure out what you did wrong, and you got to clean it up. And our whole season's ahead of us, so we got to clean it up, and we got to get to play better against the Jets. I mean, that's an opponent that you want to play at this point.
Logan Ryan with us. He's presented by Edley's Barbecue. Logan Ryan Show here on 104.5 The Zone. Logan, after the stop on 4th and 1, really less than a yard there, and then the turnaround, the next play, the 97-yard touchdown, how do you think the team responded as a whole to those two plays after that went down?
You know, me and Paul talked about this a little bit last night. Obviously, that's a big swing in points, and that's probably the most asked question of last night, because that's a swing of points and momentum in a game where we're going and think we're getting 3 or 7. We don't. I mean, it's aggressive, and I like being aggressive, and that's why we said we're going to be this year. And the last thing you want to happen, I mean, if you keep them backed up there, then, you know, they punt, and that's points for our offense. But as a defense, we didn't keep them on the short field. That was the absolute iteration abomination right there to allow them to have that long run. And, you know, I don't think the team was, I'll tell you this, going into halftime or whatever, I don't think the team was like, man, like, you know, we're done. I really felt like our composure was there. I felt like we didn't play well at that point. And if we played better and get some stops on defense, that will be fine. The offense is moving the ball on these guys and we'll be fine. So I don't know, it was a huge swing in points in the game, but for us as a whole, like I said, this team hasn't, like some other teams, this team hasn't splintered or pointed fingers or anything. It was like, you know what? I didn't play well enough that first half. So-and-so didn't play well enough. Let's just play better, and we'll be fine. I'm one of our best players, Kevin Byard, took ownership for the long run. So, you know, that was on me, guys, and I'm going to make it up to you. And he forced a fumble at the end of the game that we didn't get. But he said, you know what? I'm going to take the blame on that. As long as I'm the safety here for the Titans, I'm going to take a blame on a long run like that. It's my job to get him down. And he potentially made what could have been a game-changing play. Then it doesn't go that way. The ball doesn't always bounce your way. But I appreciate guys who aren't afraid to step up and take ownership for when things go wrong. And that's how you know you have a good locker room. And that's how you know you have a good team, when guys aren't afraid to do that instead of pointing fingers and saying, dang, how come you couldn't tackle?
The Midday 180 breaks down the X's and O's with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Wednesday afternoons at 12:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
It's time now to award our train unstoppable player of the game, Marcus Mariota. 21 of 22 passing, 292 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Today's player brought to you by traininfo.com. It's hard to stop a train, really hard. Texans going to take a knee, and this one is over. Since 1997, this was the most completions to begin a game and the most consecutive completions, 19, at any point in a game for the franchise. That's the stat on Mariota, but that doesn't mean anything. The final stat is that the Houston Texans double up the Tennessee Titans 34-17 on Monday Night Football.
It's the Logan Ryan Show on the Midday 180, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Let Edley's cater your holiday party this season. Right now, get the holiday catering package for 10% off when you order before December 1st.
Logan, I'm not asking you to speak for a door yet. I'm hoping you could speak kind of thematically and schematically. On the fourth and one where they threw to Hopkins, Adoree seemed to be off, and there was room there. And I know there's some concern with Hopkins going behind you and blowing it up for a big gain. But on fourth and one, what's the strategy, generally speaking, in terms of pressing if they're going to throw?
Well, you know, they're in 13 personnel, which means they have 3 tight ends and only 1 receiver. And how we've been lining up all year with that is Adoree just, you know, it's going to the receiver. And I'm going to go to the other side because it's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. We figure most likely they're going to run the ball to get a first down. I'm a better run defender out of us two, and I can coordinate some stuff. And right there, we had an all-out blitz. We had a max blitz called. And, you know, you're a corner there. You have a max blitz called, and, you know, you're on your own. And, honestly, if they had run the ball or QB sneaked it for a yard, it's a first down. If he ran a 2-yard out, which doesn't happen much, if he runs a slant or anything, that, you know, you break that up. So I don't have a problem playing off there because – you have nobody behind you, so you're defending a yard, but at the same time, you're defending the field behind you. So if they catch the ball for 2 yards, obviously you want to be competitive on it, but they catch for 2 yards, just like if they make a run for 2 yards, and we call it a pass defense, it's still a first down. You still got to play more downs after it. So, you know, you chalk it up. They had a good play called for our max blitz. If they would have ran it, we would have stopped, knocked them out of it. If he would have ran a different route, Adoree would have covered it, but he ran a 2-yard out. So you don't see it too much. He got a first down, go back and play more defense.
Do you think Watson fumbled on that run?
You know, I hate to argue with officiating and stuff, but yeah, the ball came loose for sure. I mean, I do understand that it jarred loose, and watching it on film, it definitely came loose, but he still like maintained the ball. So I don't know. I don't really know what the rule is. I know the ball was loose in his arms and came out But at the same time, it didn't fly out right away. So I could see why they probably just didn't want to mess with it and just stuck what was caught on the field. It's unfortunate. It was a good hit. It was a good play. Could have swung some momentum there, 7-point swing right there, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, then you didn't get it. So we didn't do enough of those that night to win the game. But, I mean, that's obviously a good play for us. We didn't get it. That's unfortunate.
Craig Rolstad and his crew, known for calling the most defensive PIs in the league coming into that game. How much do you get? And you had a game earlier this year where you had a crew that was known for calling the fewest.
The New England
game. And you guys were smartly handsy in that game, and it worked to your advantage. How much did you talk about that going into the game during the week? How much did it factor into the way you covered?
You know, we didn't talk about it. I think our coach mentioned to us right before the kickoff, like, this was the guy. But, I mean, we're going to play physical with Hopkins all game. We knew the game plan. We're going to have some safety help, and we're going to play physical and not make him get the ball or make his day. If he's going to get it, he's going to have to earn it. And, you know, we weren't going to let him go out there and have anything free. So, no, it didn't really matter. It didn't really matter to us. You know, I'm going to wear the color gloves of their jersey color, so I can do what I can do anyway. But other than that, no, we didn't talk about it too much. You know, I felt like the NFL, as much as the emphasis has been in the preseason, I think they've kind of letting us play just like normal years. So that's why I told you in the beginning, I'm not going to change my game because it's how it normally goes. And I think it's been fair. I don't think they've been calling terrible DPIs or anything. So I think it didn't play much of a factor for us. We're going to do business being done.
How is this great tip about wearing gloves that are the color of the opponent's jersey not caught fire for defensive backs at every level? Peewee players should be doing this.
They're not, you know, they don't take it as serious as me. I'm trying to get every advantage that I can. Obviously, I'm reading the Kobe book right now. Mamba mentality is great, but that guy is like, he said that he read the NBA rule book and he realized the referee guide and he realized where all the referees were on the court. And he figured out, when the ball's on the left wing of the court, there's three refs looking at you, and it's on the right wing, it's these three refs. So he realized where there was blind spots on the court where he can get away with holding and he can get away with traveling, and there wouldn't be a ref that could see him. And that's like the things that Kobe Bryant did to get an advantage, which I thought was like fantastic. If I could find the ref rule book, I'll be the guy to do that.
This is like, you know? Ocean's 8. Sandra Bullock figured out the blind spots at the Metropolitan Museum as they committed
cameras.
A crime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had no idea Kobe did that, but yeah, I'm very much the same. I'm going to try to get away. I'm trying to win, and it's not being dirty or cheating, but I'm trying to get away with everything I can. And that doesn't mean I hold all the time, but if I hold, I find ways to hold without being caught, holding low, not pulling jersey, things like that, slipping through, and stuff that I learned from older guys like Aqib Talib and guys who taught me just nuances of the game. Cause I take it as a craftsmanship. So, you know, it is what it is.
You don't seem to be a complainer on the field when a flag is thrown against you. There was one last night, and you just went about your business. I didn't see you say anything to the official or do any of that. Do you find that to be kind of a waste of time in terms of talking to the official about it after a flag is thrown?
Yeah, I always play with such a focus, and people sometimes say, what's wrong with you? Like, Logie, there? And I'm just so focused on the next play, thinking about the next play, analyzing. I'm very analytical as a player. So, you know, I'm not even concerned about that. That I did hold him, and I'll tell you exactly why. And when I coach my defensive backs one day, I'm going to tell them to do the same thing. So that was a 3rd and 1. We were in the same blitz coverage. I was on Hopkins that time. And Houston knew that we were in a blitz coverage. I heard their sideline say, Hop, they're an all-out blitz. So I played off, because if you press and you get a step, then you're giving up 7. So I played off. And he ran a slant and go. He ran a double move. And I was taught at a young age, that when you blitz, the ball has to come out hot, meaning that we're blitzing more people than they can pick up, right? So the quarterback has to throw the ball right now. And if he doesn't throw it right now and they run a double move on, you grab him, because it's not, I'd rather take a 5-yard holding call than a 7-yard touchdown. I don't like getting beat on double moves a lot. I'll grab people if I'm beat. Instead of giving up a touchdown, I'll grab people and take penalty yardage so I don't hurt my team even more. So in my instance, I knew the formation. I said it's a slant or a sluggo. If they throw the slant, I'm going to pick 6. If they run a sluggo, I'm going to grab them. He ran a sluggo. I grabbed him. I thought I did a good job of getting away with it. They threw it. I was okay with it. I moved on. I told my coach. I said, Coons, I had to grab him because he ran double. He said, that's a smart play. Keep playing. And they ended up punting. So it worked out for us. But other DBs that you see around the league who might have got beat on that, then that's 7 points. So that, those are things in the game that, you know, people don't see, but that's a penalty that, you know, I'm willing to take in that situation.
Such good insight.
Did your dad teach you that, to hold a guy in that situation?
No, you can't get my dad. My dad's a Little League coach. I can't give him that much credit.
Your brother would take the credit, though.
Well, you ain't giving the credit to Rutgers, I'm thinking. So we're going all the way to Patriots?
That could have been a Rutgers thing. Yeah, I mean, I learned at the Patriots, but even Coach Coombs, you know, Dean Pease told us. He said, so many guys are afraid of all these double moves, you know, that they can run against you, that you don't take away anything. You get so afraid of all the routes. You get so afraid of the modern-day offense with the RPOs and, man, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams, that you give them too much credit. And if they beat you, grab them. So what? If they throw the ball downhill, knock the heck out of them, go pick the ball off, go knock the ball off. It's 3rd and 1. So if you catch a slant, like I said with the door, if he catches it, it's a first down anyway. So I'm going to be aggressive. And if they double move me or they go deep, I'm going to grab them. And it's a 5-yard penalty. It's a first down anyway. So, you know, Dean Pease just told us, man, because he coached back when it was Ed Reed and them and the early New England defenses, and there was a whole different level of physicality back then. But that's how you got to play. You got to go play defense aggressively and take things away. And that's the instance that Dean Pease taught me. I think I learned that from Greg Schiano at Rutgers. And it's just something that I'm going to be that type of player. And understand that the risk and the rewards.
Logan, is there an underrated play or a play we wouldn't think of that you immediately had to go back and watch from last night as you got on the plane with the iPad or when you got home or watched this morning?
You know, a play that I have, if there's a play looking back, I mean, when you get doubled up, I mean, there's going to be a much, obviously, plays. Everyone's going to talk about the long run and all that. That's a couple missed tackles and stuff. You know, it's not as big as people think. That's football. If one person out of their gap and one person misses a tackle and Lamar Miller's a running back, he can run for 97 yards. But the play right before halftime that Hopkins made that catch right before the, you know, right on the sideline, and that gave him 3 points. You know, that's a huge swing. That's a huge swing. Get a stop there. That's momentum swing. That's they're getting points before half, and then they're getting the ball right after halftime. And that's a big New England philosophy of always deferring the kickoff, scoring right before halftime in the 2-minute drill, getting the ball back and scoring there. So they did a good job against 3. The ball went right on my fingertips. We were in a zone. I could have been a little bit deeper. I should have been deeper in a situation to try to limit that. But it was such a frantic play. When the ball was snapped, Hopkins wasn't even lined up. He wasn't even ready. He was standing still. And then he starts jogging down the field. Don't even know what his route was supposed to be. Threw his hand up, and Deshaun Watson throws his ball right over my hand, right in front of Adoree behind me, and he makes that's the chemistry those two have. It's such a broken play. It's a backyard football play that they were able to make, and we did such a good job on him. That one kind of irritated me, but he's a good player. He's a great player. I played him every year for 6 years now, and obviously as long as I'm in the league, I hope I keep playing him because I love going against him.
Dude, you're really good at this. You might have a future in radio.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'll be a little more positive, but I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Tough couple weeks, but you're the same guy, win or lose, and that's part of what makes you good at it. You're not hiding from anything.
Yeah, we like the fact that win or lose, you'll bring it and be honest. So,
and give us examples you just did of specific moments in the game. That's what people want to know about.
Look, man, in life, when you give it all you got, regardless, I can't walk out of that game. I'm obviously furious. I lost. I want to win. But I had 11 tackles. I have cuts over my legs. I literally gave it all I got. And now the season's on the line. We got the Jets coming up, and I'm not going to go into the Jets game defeated. Because 5 wins isn't enough to get in the playoffs, but 5 wins isn't enough to keep you – 5 losses isn't enough to keep you out either. So we got to go. Like, or 6 losses isn't enough to keep you out. Like, we got to go. Last year we were 9-7. Right now we have 6 losses. We have to go, and we have to beat the Jets, and I got to be a leader out there. So – if the guys see me down or see me moping or see me hurting, that's not going to be good for us. So it's my job to go out there and stay positive. My job to go out there and play and get 11 tackles and keep it going.
Logan, thank you for the time today. We'll catch up next week. We'll have some details on our next live show with you here at the Performance Studio as well next week. And get some rest because it's a short week coming up.
Yep, appreciate it. See you guys on Sunday.
Yep, Logan Ryan has been our guest. He's presented by Edley's Barbecue.